I closed my eyes and I saw a robe, a garment, and then I did the thing where I turned around 360, like in my body, like I was turning around, and the garment was filling everything. And I was like, I'm in his presence.
I'm Adira Polite, and this is Then God Moved. Hello, I'm so excited for you guys to hear today's episode. I'm here with actress and singer Rachel Webb, whom I recently met on the new audio-only social media app, Clubhouse. This is in no way a paid ad, so I won't say too much about the app, but I will say I was having fun lurking along, and I just joined at the time, and I was sitting in on some live auditions for the Clubhouse version of Dreamgirls, the musical, and Rachel killed the audition. She killed it. It was fire. And when I realized she loved Jesus, I immediately reached out. So we started chatting, a new friendship was born, and now she's here to share some awesome God stories with you. As you'll hear, the timing of this interview was actually perfect. We actually kept having to push it back, but it just so happens that God did a pretty huge thing in her life just 2 days before we recorded. So she's going to share that with you, and I know it's going to bless you guys. Let's get into it.
We have been like playing phone tag.
Yes, for so long. I know. Thank you for your patience. I know you're busy with the rehearsals and everything, it sounds like.
No, did I tell you that I'm not in Dreamgirls anymore?
No.
Dreamgirls isn't, working retail right now. Can't take weekends off, and those are the only times that they rehearse.
Okay.
I'm actually really excited because I won't be working there after the 5th. Free from retail. I'm not a fan of it. I should have known.
I feel like it must be crazy during the pandemic. Do you have people who are like, I don't want to wear a mask?
Yeah. If you can't wear a mask for medical reasons or whatever other reasons you're not able to wear a mask, then we can give you like a face shield.
Okay. So will they do that?
Well, if you ask nicely, they're like, yeah, of course. But if they make a big fit out of it, then you can't really do anything.
Right. But to kick them out, I guess, right?
The nice way, though.
Right.
Like, unfortunately, we can't have you staying in the store.
Right. Respectfully.
Respectfully, we can give you your merchandise outside of the store after you pay right. for it. It is definitely weird. It is okay.
But so where do you live and where are you from?
So I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
I grew up, like my hometown is called DeSoto, Texas, 15 minutes south of Dallas, this little suburban town. So I went to elementary, middle school, and high school there, and then I moved to another high school in Dallas proper.
Okay.
Junior year of high school, and then I graduated there from that art school.
Were you pursuing acting already at that point?
Actually, not quite. I was only singing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was singing from a young age, about 7 years old.
Wow.
So I started singing in church and talent shows, and then I went into singing with different a cappella groups and things like that.
Cool. So you grew up in the church. Did you have a faith of your own, or was it kind of just your parents' faith that you were leaning on?
I was leaning on my mom's faith, and I was leaning on the faith of those who were teaching in the church. If I could understand what they were talking about.
Right.
When I was young, I really didn't.
Yeah.
But I also, when I was younger, did not go to Sunday school.
Okay.
That wasn't part of my church
life.
I was really just coming to the adult services and staying there and always cold. I remember it was always cold.
Yeah. And you're just waiting for it to end. So was there a time when it started to make sense to you? Because obviously you're a believer now. You're like very outspoken about your faith. When did that shift from leaning on your mom's faith to actually knowing God and understanding the gospel happen?
That shift happened when I was transitioning from school to school.
Mm.
So it was a big life transition for me. There were also other things that I was going through personally with relationships and thinking that I was in love and all that stuff. So God helped me through those things by showing me what it's like to be in his presence. And he showed me that right before my sister and I did our altar call at the same day. That's when I kept hearing God more clearly.
Wait, so y'all didn't plan that? Like, y'all both answered the call just on the same day?
They do that altar call all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And so in my head, I'm thinking, I want to go, but I don't want anybody to judge me.
Yeah.
So God was always calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would say things like, if you feel that tug, it's not me. It's God. And it's true. But I'd be like, oh, yeah, but no. And so my sister and I both had whatever she was going through. I didn't know. I was going through some things of my own. And we ended up walking at the same time.
Wow.
And then the next Sunday we got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our birthday week too. Like, my birthday is on the 6th of March and her birthday is on the 9th of March. So it was really close to our birthday too. So I thought that was cool.
Wow. That's special.
Yeah.
Wait, so how old were you at that point?
I think I was like 15, 16.
Okay. Early, early adulthood. Understanding relationships for the first time and like all the angst that comes with that. Mm-hmm. You started to turn to him and then you showed up in that way. So were you kind of getting to know his presence at that point?
I don't believe I was.
Oh, really?
I think I was accepting the charge. I recognized that I needed him to live better. Going on the same path I was going, I would have gone a very different way. And so, God was showing me that. But I don't believe that I'm actually understanding his presence until now.
So, oh, really? Okay. We'll get there in a little bit. So what was that path that you were heading down? Where would you have ended up, do you think?
I think I would have ended up in a young relationship, a young family relationship. I would have, my perspective on how far I could go in life is limited.
Mm.
Worst case scenario, I probably would have started a family out of wedlock and gone through financial issues, knowing that my family never knew how to handle finances.
Mm.
I just saw myself going a different way.
Yeah.
And then not following God. Yeah.
How did he push you from that path onto the one you're on now?
My mentor, who took myself and my sister under her wing, we would spend time making food after church and then going through Exodus. I don't know if you've ever heard of D Group.
I don't think so.
No? Okay. It's a young adult and adult ministry outside of church. Mm-hmm. So you read scripture, you memorize scripture, and you dive through what you're reading and memorizing. It's really, really practical. It's an amazing way for you to learn the Bible. But God was really showing me what diligence looked like, what devotion to God, even when it is not popular.
Yeah.
That's what he was showing me in that season.
Yeah, because that's a tough time. I feel like I met Christ in college, like on my way out of college. But in high school, it's like, that's really not cool. Like, to not be doing what everyone else is doing in high school, that's not cool. So how did you navigate that, like, socially?
Girl, I was the odd ball out, you know. Mm. Looking back at it today, I do think that I was unstable. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would be strong in my conviction, and I would live without worrying what people thought. Then I'd get into some situations where, like, my emotions would get the best of me. My anger would get the best of me. And so then some of my old habits, which were like cursing the way that I did in high school. Mm-hmm. I had always been shy, but like gossip crept in there. True sexual sins that I hadn't let go of. In high school, everything is just like on a pendulum. I would have to, you know, switch my mindset at a moment's notice and just remind myself that I had forgiveness from God and that I had grace.
Yeah.
What really helped was the places that I was able to sing.
Mm.
The ideals inside of those programs helped me to tell stories through song. I'd not only be ministering to other people, but to myself.
That's a special ministry, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. So As you transitioned into college, how did your relationship with God shift? You said you're realizing now, like having just graduated, how to recognize his presence. What was that like in college?
In college, I was worried and really focused on being good.
Mm-hmm.
Having sex before marriage, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I was cautious about going to parties. I would often make excuses like, oh, I'm just going to study, or I'm just going to do this. And I end up not even studying. I end up just singing. And one time somebody actually like texted me and she was like, are you on Instagram Live right now? You don't want to come to the party? Yes, I am. I'm singing gospel music.
Yes.
I do feel like I spent a lot of time in college putting up barriers for myself so that mm-hmm. I wouldn't step into those situations. And I think that was a smart decision because I probably would have gone through a lot more pain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I also was able to lean on him, and my faith in God was tested a lot. Mm-hmm. So I went to school for musical theater. Often people go to theater because where they grew up,
yeah,
they're ostracized by the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the various forms of church, but the church is something that triggers them. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of my time questioning, like, wow, so why is it that so-and-so doesn't believe in you?
Mm.
Why is it that they're so quick to make a joke about God? But then when something happens, they might ask for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a dichotomy that I didn't understand, and I still to this day don't. I did gain a lot of sensitivity. So my upbringing and the way that I thought was limiting, and it was actually kind of rude because the things that I think about the people that I ended up going to school with was ill-informed.
Mm-hmm.
And then to college with people who are the most loving human beings on this planet, mm-hmm. just don't believe in God. And then you go back home and then somebody in your family is like, oh, you're around those gay people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm around people, yes. I get to like this other person.
Yeah.
But does that have to define them?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of things that I was going through spiritually, a lot of things that I was questioning about God. And I get to the end of school and recognize, I don't even think I recognized that I wasn't in his presence all of college. I feel like I was distant and he was just continuing to call out to me. Mm. Maybe he was there and I was in his presence all the time, but I never realized what that felt like.
Right.
2 days ago was when I was able to have a revelation of what it's like to spend time in his presence. I've been trying to figure it out for like 4 months.
Wow. 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
Wow. Wait, now it feels like a blessing that this kept getting postponed, though, because, I mean, that's a story. What do you think allowed that to happen? Like, were you actively seeking?
Yeah, I did a fast. I finally did the Daniel fast.
Oh, okay.
This January, so it ended on Sunday. In the fast, I was praying to hear God's presence more and clearer. I was like, I just want to hear you. I just want to see you. And then on the last day of the fast, I went to Upper Room in Dallas. Have you heard of Upper Room?
Is that the church like the music group is named after? If that's them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's them. I went there. I was invited by a friend of mine. And I get there and they were praying they were speaking about how to pray.
Mm.
And when you're praying with scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're not just praying from our own fleshly desires.
Right.
And so we were in Isaiah 6, I believe it was 7. Yes. Isaiah 6 is when he was in God's presence, he saw the robe of God filling the entire temple. And there were seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
To one another about God. And so that's what I was envisioning. I'd never allowed God's creativity to be real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, if you're just envisioning it, can't you just like imagine something in your head and it might not be real? But I felt his presence then because I closed my eyes and I imagined myself in my own prayer closet or in my own room praying by mm-hmm. myself. And I closed my eyes, I looked up, and I saw the image.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see a human being. I didn't see like a face or anything, but I did see a robe, a garment. And then I did the thing where I turned around 360, like in my body, like I was turning around mm-hmm. with my face turned up and my eyes were still closed. And it was like I was looking around the whole thing and the garment was filling everything.
Wow.
And I was like, I'm in his presence. Wow. Like he actually does that.
Yeah.
Like don't just call this like something that just happened. This is God showing me himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that was in the middle of prayer. And then that prayer turned into worship and it was so beautiful.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, God, I hear you. I've been getting in my own way this whole time.
Mm.
I've been getting in your way. You've actually never left me.
How do you, because you were saying before, in college, you had all these boundaries that you were laying out for yourself. And like, obviously you don't regret that. You were seeking God's will. You were trying to obey him by setting boundaries. But do you think that there's a relationship between you trying to set the boundaries and you not resting in his presence? There have been seasons where I'm like, okay, I need to do X, Y, Z, and I'm not really just like letting him guide me. And because of that, I'm in this anxious state and like not feeling his presence because I'm so focused on what I can do right instead of like what he's already done and what he's doing, you know, through me. Do you feel like that is part of why you're able to feel him now? Has there been a shift in the way that you avoid sin?
Yes. Yes. I definitely agree in all of what you just said. Wanting to live a certain life and then when I didn't meet my own expectations, not even his,
mm-hmm.
my own expectations, then I would get mad and say that I'm mm-hmm. not living for God. So since graduating, I've been able to kind of accept God's forgiveness for my life and his grace.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was letting go of perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me because in school, perfectionism is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. And you're rewarded for it. Like in every area of the world, you're rewarded for that.
Yeah, you're rewarded. And then, I'm not going to lie, in college, spread myself too thin. I was running a Bible study for the musical theater majors who believed in God and who wanted to hear more from him with some other people. And I was comparing myself to my faith to their faith and our faith to the people who created the Bible study's faith. And so like, yeah, overwhelmed. All I could do, like at my core, was try to live for God. And so now I've been able to kind of like weed out where it is that I feel perfectionism.
I see. Sounds like it's like you're embracing grace, as you said, like forgiveness for your mm-hmm. life. Yeah. And when you embrace grace, of course you feel his presence. Because I feel like we like kind of shut it out. When you try to ignore the grace or not hear the grace, then you're basically not hearing him.
Yes. God has really shown himself that way. You know how in James, it talks about if you need wisdom, ask God,
mm-hmm.
but ask God without doubting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one who doubts is a double-minded man, unstable yeah. in all his ways. Mm-hmm. And so I had memorized that when I started with my mentor, Tai Shin, with D Group. They had mm-hmm. us memorize James 1. And so I had a friend to mentor to me over the phone about two nights ago. Yeah, it was two nights ago. It was the same night of the fast ending.
Oh, okay.
And he was telling me about how God doesn't want us to be double-minded, but he does want us to be standard, which is mm-hmm. thinking godly thoughts and having godly conversations and that we watch on television, not steering us away and leading us into sin, but actively stepping into the direction of righteousness. So it's hard right now because I feel I do feel unstable. Like, it's good to be in situations like this where we're just talking.
Yeah. It also says a lot that you're aware of the fact that you're double-minded and, like, praying for God to heal that. We can so easily fall back into trying to be single-minded on your own. Like, it definitely takes effort on our part, but I believe that he's the one who can actually make you single-minded. It's, like, by his grace that we become like that, because it's against our natural state. Like, it's against our nature, but he can make it happen by all means.
If there's anything else I would talk about, it's the fact that I've been having a lot of emotional struggles, financial struggles, fleshly struggles, and I'm speaking of, like, sexual sin as well as just doubting.
Mm-hmm.
And then familial, like, everything that, a lot of my struggles stem from family. Struggles that are, like, lingering there, you know, they don't just, it's not just one day I feel bad. It's like I'm often reminded about some of these things, and each time I'm like, God, I love you so much, help me. And he helps me through it, and then I get over the hump and I'm like, yes. And then, like, 2 days later or maybe a month later, something else big happens and I'm like, God has taken me through so many things, I don't have to worry.
Yes.
In the midst of me not worrying, I'm, like, silently having a breakdown and crying uncontrollably. And people are like, Rachel, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm fine.
It's like the knowledge that he will get you through it, but it's still hard in the moments.
Exactly.
Yes, I feel that. It's always comforting to read things like Lamentations and, like, even the Psalms, like, to know that these people who are, like, very godly were crying their eyes out and not always like, oh, God's got it and everything's fine. It's like, God's got it, but this is also awful, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So outside of just, I know that he reveals himself to us, is there some way that you learned something new about him in that moment?
I think it's the fact that I can allow him to talk to me and take his word as what it is. Sometimes he would talk to me and then I feel like I would question everything. I'd be like, is this God? I wanted to be able to discern whether it was God's voice or something that I've heard in my mind, or, you know, there were things that God would be trying to tell, recognizing that even today, God would be trying to tell me in the past that I would just, like, question. I don't know, God. Or, God, is that you? Or, I don't know if that's, like, a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, is that something that you can tell me, or would you even do that? But I do believe I've figured that, not figured that out, because there's nothing that I could just figure on my own. But
right, and I feel like it also just goes back to the need to know scripture, because, like, you knew when you saw him, and that, I guess you would call it a vision, that it was God, because it was literally matching his word, like, detail for detail. Because, you know, the enemy can talk and, like, the enemy can disguise himself as an angel of light. We know this. So you could hear a voice or hear a suggestion and it be the enemy, or it be your own anxiety, or just be what someone else told you. But you know it's from God when it matches his word.
Love that. So true.
That is encouraging, honestly, because I get a lot of messages, you know, from people who are like, I don't feel God. Like, I've never felt God. And they kind of feel like he's chosen someone else. And that's something that I'm always trying to, like, fight, because people think that they really do. Because I worry about if I'm contributing to it, because I publish stories of people's awesome encounters with God. And so people think, well, I haven't experienced that. Like, he must not want to encounter me. He must not want to talk to me. And it's like, no, he's very accessible, thanks to Jesus.
Yeah. And everybody has their own, like, different journey to heal his presence. I was part of the group of people who would compare my faith to other people's faith. Like, dang, they're so strong. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like, there is a healthy way to see someone's faith and be inspired and say, I want to know God like that person. But that's never what it is. It's always, like feeling like it's not possible for you, which is just a crazy idea. And that's part of why I think testimonies are so powerful, especially like a story like yours. now you are, you know, have experienced the presence of God, there are going to be a lot of people who are like, I want that sort of experience. But when you tell, when they hear the beginning of your story, it's like, oh, maybe that is possible for me. Like, her story didn't start off with her up here experiencing the presence of God. Like, her story began with her like struggling with sin and not knowing God, just like everyone else. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully, I pray it will encourage many people and edify people. I know it's encouraged me, so I'm sure it will.
To learn more about Rachel, visit rachelsweb.com. And as always, be sure to keep up with us at thengodmoved on Instagram and at thengodmoved.com. Peace and blessings to you guys. I'll see you next time.